Well, I'm sure they're glad to be coming home after a 1-3 road trip, even though we talked about that being a successful one for the 76ers because of the tough opponents that they would have. Welcome to the PHLY Sixers postgame show late night once again. And I'm sure Derek is happy for the final time as the Sixers fall to the Sacramento Kings tonight. And again, they head home following this one. Back on the home floor just for one game, though, on Wednesday as they take on the Los Angeles Clippers. And just a quick update on the Clippers. Look like they're going to lose to the Indiana Pacers tonight. So two games that they drop on back-to-back days.
Which, by the way, that's a game the Sixers really could have used them to pull out. The Sixers really could have used the Clippers to win that one,
Yeah, because they were only a half a game back of the Indiana Pacers. And just another update, Cleveland won, New York won, and the Chicago Bulls, Derek, they did lose earlier today. So as far as keeping an arm's length from the Chicago Bulls, to your point, the Indiana Pacers blowing out the Clippers late in the fourth quarter. So that one's going to not help the Sixers. That said, they had an opportunity to help themselves tonight, unfortunately, on the second day of a back-to-back. A team in the Sacramento Kings also fighting for positioning in the Western Conference. Outside of Tyrese Maxey, who is the, of course, face of our thumbnail there in our photo to start the show off. Not a lot of help from anybody else, man. Not a lot of help.
That's overselling the help that they provided. There was no help. Kyle is giving us more help on this show tonight than they were. The Sixers, Tyrese Maxey was getting from the Sixers teammates.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. He finished with a game best 29 points, 21 in the first quarter, which is a career best in any quarter. But again, 8 points throughout the rest of the way. Not his fault. Needed help from some others, Derek. In this one, they fall 108-96. And the score really wasn't even that close in the final parts of the game in the fourth quarter where the Kings really pulled away. He could have certainly used some help there from some other people. Just simply didn't get it. He went on a 16-0 run to start the game for the Sixers. And they led 16-15 as Mike Brown called timeout because of his heroics. That's how good he was there in the first quarter, in the first half, and throughout the game overall. He could have used some help tonight.
Yeah, and look, I had my expectations really low coming into this game. That's not even an indictment on the Sixers. That's not even because of the Kings necessarily, although it's in part because of the Kings. They are a good team. That's probably a bad matchup for the Sixers on the second half of a back-to-back, ending a four-game road trip. But the spot was bad. Back-to-back basketball is nonsense. The last game of a road trip tends to be... What'd you call it the other day? You had a word.
Getaway game.
Yeah, the getaway game tends to not work out well in your favor. All of that was leading to a disappointing night. So for me to be disappointed really says something because the expectations were really low. But when Tyrese Maxey came out with the kind of effort he had in the first quarter, and like you mentioned, 21 points, most ever in a quarter by Tyrese Maxey, one of the more electric performances we've seen. And we see a lot of him with Joel Embiid, but when he comes out with 21 and a quarter, 4 of 5 from 3-point range, I forget exactly how many shots. I think it took him like 7 shots or something like that to get the 20. It was just completely absurdly insane for him to be that efficient and nobody else to have anything. Just absolutely nothing. And look, I think when, you know, you heard that Kelly Oubre was going to be out this game, that hurt because he was one of the few players who played with any kind of energy consistently. He's one of the few players you have that can create off the dribble outside of Tyrese Maxey. And it was, you can't waste that Tyrese Maxey performance. You just can't do it. Because in the first quarter, you know, the Kings were playing relatively soft on Tyrese. Like they were giving him shots that I was a little surprised they were giving him. And he was getting to his spots off the dribble. He was making deep, deep, deep threes. And they adjusted and they blitzed him every opportunity, threw two at the ball every time he touched it and just dared anyone to make any kind of play, not just a shot, but any kind of a 4-on-3 read, any kind of a good decision, any kind of attacking an opportunity. And nobody could do it to a T. Nobody could successfully do that. And obviously, you know, Tobias Harris is going to draw a lot of the ire, deservedly so. He finished 5 for 15 for his 12 points. He blew one of the easiest layups I've ever seen on what was a gorgeous pass from Tyrese Maxey, but really nobody was any good. And like I said, I think when we start talking about this team, and I wrote about this a little bit today about how ineffective Kyle Lowry and Buddy Hield have been off the dribble in isolation situations so far at the Sixers. I think Buddy Hield, and this is going off the top of my head, so I might misquote this a little bit, but Buddy Hield was scoring about 2 points per game and shooting 44% on drives so far at the Sixers. And Kyle Lowry was like 1.2 points per game on like 42% shooting on drives. That is just highlighted in a big way when you don't have Kelly Oubre, because there is just, I mean, this is the slowest dribble penetration team outside of Tyrese Maxey that I've ever seen right now. When you start talking about Hield and Lowry and Batum and Tobias, who looks like he's lost a step and certainly lost some confidence, there's just nobody who you trust to make a play off the dribble right now. And it really, really shows.
No. So after he scored the 21 in the first, and as you said, no matter who they threw at him, whether it was Malik Monk or De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray out there, Harrison Barnes taking his turn, Davion Mitchell in the first quarter coming in, didn't matter. No one could stop him in the first quarter. But once they realized that they can shift their defense a certain way, and Davion Mitchell then locked in the second quarter and in the third quarter specifically there, where he did create a little havoc more so for their defense, not necessarily against Tyrese Maxey himself, but overall to break up and bust up the easy pathway that you talked about. No resistance going to the paint. Of course, the step back threes. Davion Mitchell, known for his reputation of coming into the NBA with the defensive mindset. And that has been the case in the NBA here so far. I haven't followed the Kings enough to know where his minutes have been this particular season. Out of the last season, he lost his minutes quite a bit in the rotation, but I haven't paid attention enough to see over the last couple of weeks where he has been. That being said, he did make a difference when he came in, face guarding Tyrese Maxey, running all over, busting through screens. He forced two offensive fouls on Paul Reed and Tobias Harris because of him fighting over those screens, them not getting set quickly enough to try to free up Tyrese Maxey to continue to get those good looks at the basket, whether it be from jump shooting from the perimeter or continuing to drive to the basket, maybe even find some of his teammates for some open looks. But overall, Davion Mitchell, I thought that was a good job by Brown, of course, keeping Mitchell in and Mitchell being in there. And by the way, Mitchell had a 10-point run there in the first half to help the Sacramento Kings out with the scoring. And so a cherry on top for them, because he's also not necessarily known for scoring. So with that, you needed someone else. And I guess they just spilled their bucket. Right, Derek, yesterday against the Los Angeles Clippers, where you get 24 each from Campaign and Tobias Harris. We said it during the postgame. You cannot expect Campaign to, again, give you another 24-point performance following that one. He might give you a good outing, but not a 24-point performance. So you need to find that elsewhere. And we circled Buddy Hield. We didn't know about the Kelly Oubre piece, but of course, after the way that he fell, we did say that we'll see what his availability would be like for this game. That wasn't there. So who else was going to be there to step up? Could Tobias Harris follow up, like we talked about yesterday, with another solid performance after that 24 that he had and a great start in the first half with his 19 against the Clippers? That wasn't the case again. And while they were in it, they weren't necessarily in it, because they were also turning the basketball over, giving opportunities for Sacramento, who likes to run, to get out and run. They couldn't keep Domantas Sabonis off the boards. They had too many offensive rebounds as a team, where they were collectively doing things on that end for the Sacramento Kings. And when you look at it and you see certain players like De'Aaron Fox in double figures and a few others in double figures, it wasn't as if they destroyed you. You were in that game for a bit until that third quarter where it really got away from the Sixers. So Maxey did what the All-Star Maxey was supposed to do, even if it was the 29 through the three quarters and then giving you a little bit more later on because someone else is doing something. The game is tighter. The game is closer. Maybe he does push that into the mid-30s, maybe the high 30s, because of what the game is, what the game is giving you at that point. And with that, maybe he can win you another one. But you needed somebody else to step up to give him that opportunity, the same way we saw on Sunday afternoon with Harris and Payne doing their part, some of the other supporting cast playing good overall games collectively together to put together really nice performances. They needed that. They did not get it tonight. I know we were asking for a lot to win two games in a row, back-to-back, after a big emotional win that they had against the Clippers on Sunday afternoon. But as you said, you cannot waste that type of start, that type of performance. Someone needed to dig deep and pull something out of their gut to help Maxey and secure this victory.
Yeah. And look, I know some people will maybe try to get on Tyrese because he only took five shots after the first quarter. I think if you go back and you rewatch that game, they were trying so hard to get the ball out of Tyrese's hands. Nick Nurse then tried to run Tyrese off ball a little bit. Maybe that would free him up. That didn't really work because there's nobody on this team who can create any kind of separation from their defender. There's just, you know, like I said, I don't want to paint too much of this on missing Kelly Oubre because, quite frankly, I haven't been the biggest Kelly Oubre fan, but I think if there's one person who's going to, you know, step up their game with Embiid out, it's someone like Kelly, because you just have a real dearth of any kind of ability to attack off the dribble. And that doesn't mean that Kelly isn't flawed. He is. But when Embiid is out of the lineup, you're more willing to live with those flaws because he gives you something that nobody else on the team outside of Tyrese gives. And when you do have Kelly out and you have nobody else outside of Tyrese that can legitimately beat any kind of a competent NBA defender off the dribble, then all of a sudden it just looks real, real bad. And you combine that with the fact that, you know, I think non-Tyrese Sixers shot like 6 of 27 from 3 or something like that in this game, and it's just not going to get it done. And overall, despite how well Tyrese is playing, and despite the fact that Sixers have been competing relatively decently here over the last week and a half or so, you know, coming into this game, they ranked 22nd in the league in offense since Joel Embiid went out of lineup, and they ranked 22nd in the league in defense. They are equally mediocre to bad at both sides of the ball. And this is one where, you know, I thought they competed decently well defensively, especially through most of the game. But they just don't have any way to manufacture points in any kind of reliable way.
Yeah, 29 for Tyrese Maxey in 34 plus minutes. He was 10 for 16, 5 for 7, got to the free throw line 6 times, 4 free throws. Did pick up a technical foul, again, arguing a foul call on him. Turned the ball over twice. And the only other starter in double figures was Tobias Harris. Two guys off the bench in double figures. Go get him, Rick, with 10. And DJ Wilson also.
Hey, with the way DJ came in, knocked down those 2 threes, we might have a start him over Mo Bamba chant going.
Might or start Paul Reed and have DJ Wilson take Paul Reed minutes off the bench. No Bamba. 5 points in 12 plus minutes. And he did have 6 boards in the starting role. I thought Tobias did hit the glass pretty well in general, but not enough on the offensive end to get enough scoring there, where you had the Sacramento Kings 23 each from Keegan Murray and De'Aaron Fox, 18 off the bench for Davion Mitchell, a big boost again for someone not known for the scoring, more for his defensive presence. 18 points is a big time performance from him. 11 for Malik Monk and a triple double for Domantas Sabonis. 11 points, 13 boards, 10 assists. His 57th, I think they said it was, Derek, his 57th consecutive double.
It was definitely in the 50s. Yeah,
something like that, which is outrageous. Yeah, 54th. My apologies, 54th. I did have that written down. 54th consecutive double-double. So another opportunity. And you know what's crazy, Derek, though, as we look at this and we look at this 1-3 trip, we said, get one and we'll be satisfied. But when you also look at hindsight is 2020, because if we look at the Laker game and they win that one, there's a very good chance that they don't win the Clipper game. But that said, the way the Clippers came out on that floor on Sunday, looking not motivated at all, they might have won that game. But win that game, and you look at the possibilities there with the Los Angeles Lakers, to steal another one would have been so perfect after winning a game that you're not supposed to against the Clippers. The chances that you have were real against the Los Angeles Lakers. You were asking a lot to win this one. But once again, you get a performance like that from Tyrese Maxey, where he shoots so efficiently, 10 of 16, 21 in the first quarter. You just needed some help overall. But they do come home on Wednesday to take on the Clippers again. Hopefully the Clippers are just feeling that way, where they want to continue to lose after they fall to the Indiana Pacers tonight. They can lose 3 in a row. That'd be fantastic for the Sixers and the Sixers fans. See them at home against the Clippers on Wednesday night. That should be an interesting one as James Harden comes back to Philadelphia. Pretty sure we all know what that reaction is going to be like. When we come back, we'll get into more of the rest of the team, how this one fell apart for the Sixers as they are now in the standings overall. Pardon me, with their record, they are 39-33. Derek, they have 10 games left on the season. How about that? We'll get into it more when we get back. Yeah, how about that?
For that, we want to tell you about one of our new sponsors, Olipop. Olipop is the world's first functional soda with a classic soda taste and the benefits of plant-based fiber, prebiotics, and the other botanical ingredients to support gut health. Olipop is a new kind of soda with only 2 to 5 grams of sugar and 9 grams of fiber per can. Olipop is available online and available in almost 30,000 retailers nationwide, including the most recent launch at Wawa stores. Olipop's debut in Wawa couldn't be more of a match made in heaven. A delicious, healthy drink meets a convenience store, both adored by a cult following. The two flavors debuting in Wawa are Classic Root Beer and Strawberry Vanilla. I actually have a Olipop right here, and that is not a prop. I actually had a case of it here.
I've long
been a soda guy. Devon can attest to that. Almost every time I come into the studio, I have some kind of a carbonated beverage on hand. So when Olipop became a sponsor, I figured, why not? It was worth a try. So I can get that taste that I'm familiar with, but in a more nutritiously conscious way. Olipop uses functional ingredients that combine the benefits of prebiotics, but 90% of Americans consume more than the USDA's daily recommended added sugar intake of 30 grams. Sweetened beverages like soda are the leading source of added sugars in the American diet. Olipop is much lower in sugar than conventional sodas, with only 2 to 5 grams of fiber, 2 to 5 grams of sugar from natural sources. Use the code PHLY20 for 20% off your next Olipop order. The discount only applies to one-time orders, not to subscription orders. Olipop is sold online at drinkolipop.com and Amazon, and available in almost 30,000 retailers nationwide, including Wawa, Target, Sprouts, Wegmans, ShopRite, and GoPuff.
All right, and this episode is on this late night West Coast game against Sacramento. Is brought to you by our good friends, spring cleaning champions. See our good friends from Manscaped. Let me tell you about Manscaped. Look at this. I even brought it. We're home, so I can just show you. Look at that. Look at the great razors there. 5.0 Lawnmower Ultra. The Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Look at that. Look at the three different heads that you can go with. Fantastic. Let me turn it on for you. Look at that. How about that? See? Look at that. Look, that's how it works. It's very easy. You just go ahead and you get in there with Manscaped. It's fantastic. You have a great bag for you. If you travel, you want to travel a little bit, you could put your Manscaped products here in the bag, your razor, and all the essentials that go with it. It's fantastic. Comes in a great box. The Lawnmower, again, 5.0. Look at that. It's fantastic. Yes, I did open it. So, of course, you know I'm not lying to you. And I bring it all up for you folks as we let you know about them, because this season, make sure you groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below the waist grooming. Yes, clear out the winter bush with Manscaped Lawnmowers 5.0 Ultra, and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men like myself worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com, use code PHLY for 20% off plus free shipping. It's fantastic. Aaron says, with all the packaging intact. That's just because I'm a neat freak. Derek will tell you that. I'm a neat guy.
He sits there. He wipes down his laptop screen after every show. It's wild.
Yes, Aaron. So that's why it's back in the box. I clean it and I put it right back in the box, my man. That said, after using Manscaped, I can finally say that I've caught the spring fever. And again, introducing the new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra that I just showed you. Their fifth generation trimmer features two interchangeable neck skin safe blade heads. Look at that. Look at that. All right, let me fix it right there. You get all those right there. And a standard one for taking a little one off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. I just showed you all three, plus the razor there. It also features a dual LED spotlight to guide you through the darkest winter debris. Navigate with confidence in your delicate area. So if you, for whatever reason, want to do this at night and you're like, I don't want to wake my partner up, whatever. I don't want to turn light on. Guess what? Got the lights right there on your razor there. And I love this because it comes with a compact case, as I showed you. And I take it with me everywhere I go. Yes. Spring cleaning, doesn't mean just applying to the lower regions. You also mean your face. You know, you got to clean up there, get the full grooming experience with Manscaped Signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit plus Handyman Electric Face Shaver. Works very well. Clean up right here on the neckline. Get that signature look. They're always the right look for the job. And again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code PHLY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code PHLY at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning. You know, when you clean and you get that noise in your pants. There you go. Right there. See? Yeah. Look at that. We bring props and everything. we're good. Phil says, look at Devon with the 10-hour commercials. That's right. Great. We have great sponsors, and I want to make sure we tell everybody about Manscaped. Phil, go buy one. Go take care. 20% off PHLY at manscaped.com and free shipping. You can't beat that. All right, Derek, when we look at some of the rest of the Sixers here with it, we talked about this a little bit more. Maybe we'll even get to more of this tomorrow, I'm sure, because we have a show, myself and you. We'll be together with Kyle on vacation. We have our 2:30 show.
Yeah, man, I'll see you in 13 hours. Less
13
than that, probably.
Hours, man. Meet you
gotta
and
get
Bree,
there beforehand.
No question. We talked about this before.
Hey, if anybody has any ideas of what we should talk about in 13 hours, drop them into the chat so we can do a little prep.
We mentioned Buddy Hield, man, and looking to get some scoring going. Got a lot of questions. Stacy asked in the tweet during the game. She DM'd me. Winona was talking about it. She's here in the chat, and a few people here in the chat as well. We'll get to our super chat here in just a bit, but we talked about this after the first 5, 6, 7 games where Buddy Hield looked really good. And we know that the one thing that we're waiting to really see the full complement of who Buddy Hield, we think, might be with this basketball team is when Joel Embiid does come back, if and when he does come back. But, man, they could really use him. And, again, tonight, just 3 for 9 off the bench.
Yeah, and worth pointing out that he left the game limping pretty late there. I don't know if he bumped knees. It looked like maybe when he went up to contest the Fox floater or maybe on the ensuing possession when he tried to go ISO late in the game. I'm not entirely sure where it happened or what it is. I haven't seen an update. I also haven't been following Twitter all that much because we are doing a live show. But that's something to monitor going forward. You know, I do think, especially with someone like Buddy, we're a little bit prisoners of the moment. And by a little bit, I mean a lot. That's a lot of following sports nowadays. He wasn't nearly as good as he showed in his first 4 games. And sometimes when you get, shown something like that, and it's your first sort of impression with him in a new environment, you can overstate that. That being said, he's not as bad as he has shown in these last 2 weeks. You can go through swings like this over the course of the season. You can definitely go through swings like that when you're not surrounded by, when you're not put in the right situation. And one thing I said right from the jump with Buddy, he's a kind of player that he's very context dependent. And I do think, and people don't want to hear this now, they're probably getting sick of me saying it, I think he's going to be much better and much more valuable when Joel Embiid returns and when he can form that 2-man game and when he is somebody with a little bit of gravity and somebody that they're terrified of doubling off of. It'll be just a lot easier to get him shots that he's comfortable taking and making, and his strengths will be more obvious and his weaknesses will be a little less obvious, and we all won't freak out. He'll still probably only be a 25-minute-per-game player. Like, that's why, you know, I remember when we first started talking about Buddy, people were like, oh, my God, how could you not say he's obviously a starter? Well, because he has limitations, and we're seeing that in a big way now. And watching him create off the dribble has been really, really frustrating, and it's very slow-moving, you know, side to side. It's just not been effective at all. But he will be better. He's meant to catch and shoot and attack closeouts when he has to and make obvious reads with passing the ball and swinging it, not to try to attack straight up. And it's just shooters are always streaky. And I think Buddy, he was given a little more creation at the beginning and succeeded in a way that was completely unsustainable. But he's been bad for 2 weeks. There's no getting around that. But that's not defining who he is. Like, he has a big body of work in the NBA. I think we have a really good idea of what he is and what he will be. That doesn't go away just because he struggled here over the last couple of weeks. But I think fans also, by the same token, have every right to be frustrated because you're just, like we said, you were begging for anyone other than Tyrese to do anything in this game. the two guys that you have the most hope for are Tobias, well, not hope for anymore, but certainly you the two guys you would look to are Tobias Harris, your $40 million man, and Buddy Hield, an elite shooter, and neither one of them came through.
No, he finished with 7 points tonight on 3 of 9 shooting and did not make any of his three-point attempts. I believe it was 0-for-6 for Buddy Hield from beyond. And as you said, when we look to him with Tobias Harris to maybe knock down some shots to help out Maxey, that's what Buddy Hield is. He's an outside shooter. That's what he does. And at first, Derek and I, when we did the show, and I keep bringing this up because this is what we talked about. We were listening to the broadcast and someone said he's a great scorer or elite scorer, whatever it was. And we said, no, he's a great or elite shooter, not a scorer. And he showed us something different in those first couple of games. And as you said, prisoners of the moment, because he showed us quite a bit with the ball in his hands. Maxey missed some time there too. So a lot of it was really where they relied on him to create and finish at the basket, also hit those outside shots, and he did it. And this one here tonight and over the last 2 weeks, as you mentioned, we're seeing him rush shots. He is a streaky shooter, but he's also taking shots just to try to get something going where you're like, don't take that one. Yes, I want you to shoot threes, but you just hoisted that one up there just because you needed to get a shot off and you had some space. And yes, he does have a quick release. He doesn't need a lot of space at all. But at some point, something has to fall for him. And while they have in the past in the Sixers uniform, they desperately need that to come back. And to your point, we keep bringing it up. We should see the best version of Buddy Hield when and if Joel Embiid gets back on the floor.
And so by the way, the best version of Buddy Hield will still be streaky. His game is just based around the shot so much, and shooting, even the best ones, even the greatest ones of all time, are going to be streaky. It's just the nature of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. So we just got to hang on with that one, see if they can pull some wins out, see if he can knock down some shots, get some more minutes on the floor. No Kelly Oubre. So the minutes were there. He got the minutes once again where he was on the floor for 32 minutes. And that's where you're like, my man, you're out there for 32 minutes. I need a little bit more offensively from you. 9 shots, 7 points, 0-for-6 from 3. I need a little bit more. He did grab some rebounds. He did dish the basketball a little bit for a few assists. A few more points to go with that would have looked much better on the stat line as he locked 32 minutes off the bench for Nick Nurse's team. So if they would have gotten that one, maybe that one. The other culprit that we talked about too at the top, Tobias Harris with the 12 points, 5-for-15. And when you look at that, what did you see differently from him tonight versus Sunday afternoon where he struggled 5-for-15? Because I thought he had some good looks, Derek. He just didn't finish. And he got
certainly
a little
had one hell of a good look inside off of a great pass from Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah, that one was rough. What did you see different?
I mean, look.
Is it just Tobias Harris? That's what it was? Because he had some good looks, I thought.
Well, it's part Tobias Harris, but some part, like, this is why a lot of his game is based off of, you know, dribble, back down, turnaround, contested jumper. And a lot of his attempts today outside of lobs or, you know, whatnot, were shots of that variety where he's creating off the dribble, where he's creating and turning around with the hand in his face. And when you live off of that kind of a shot diet, unless you are an elite Kyrie Irving type shot maker, you're going to be streaky, especially when you take 2 3-pointers and 2 free throws. Like, you need some of those cheap points or those high value points to offset the lower value, lower expected value shots that Tobias tends to live on. And at this stage, you know, I do think there's a couple things. First of all, throughout much of the second half of the season, he's been second guessing himself. I actually didn't think that was a problem today. I thought he was pretty decisive today. He's been certainly second guessing his open threes, and that I think was a part today. But I also think he's lost a step, and that has taken away some of the easier drives. I don't think he's getting to his spots off the dribble as much as he used to a couple of years ago. I don't know entirely what that is. If maybe there's a nagging injury, or if maybe he's just lost a step. He doesn't get the free throw line nearly enough. And like I said, when you live off of tough shots, it's great to be a tough shot maker and to have that in your arsenal. Yeah. But to rely on that, you're going to have big swings. And quite honestly, if he's just giving you games like the other night, you'll live with the big swings. It's just one big game followed by 5 of these where it's tough to live with. But no, I think it's a combination of, you know, where he's most comfortable are those tough shots and the ones that are tough to sustain from, unless you're a Kevin Durant type shot maker. And with the maybe a decline in athleticism, he's not getting to his spots off the dribble. He's not getting the free throw line. He's not doing anything to really offset that. That's why when we've seen Tobias Harris be really good, it's been a lot in transition. It's been a lot in early offense. Even the other night, I thought against the Clippers, I thought he got some stuff going in early offense and in transition that helped him get easy buckets, because right now that's the only way he's really getting easy buckets outside of Tyrese Maxey gift wrapping him too. And I can't say it enough. Like, that was an incredible pass, and I'm really upset he didn't finish it.
Especially when we talk about Tyrese Maxey missing that type of pass. Oftentimes it's off the mark. It's not available for them to catch it. It goes off the backboard. It sails into the seats out of bounds. Now the other team is going the other way. That one he did put on his hands right there, and he should have finished. Even if he kept it, even if he caught it, came down, secured it still, and just went right back up. You finished.
Well,
that.
But if he would have done that, he would have pump faked and probably gotten it blocked. Like,
I know. Because
again, that's where the indecision comes in. And I think he knows he probably doesn't elevate like he used to.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. He should have considered it. But
either way, there should have been 2 points on the board.
I just feel like Tobias Harris would have found a way to screw it up regardless of which path he took.
No, you're absolutely right. We have a few super chats. We'll get to those. We'll talk about a few struggles on the team again, because yes, you did see Nick Batum and Kyle Lowry not have their better games after missing the game against the Los Angeles Clippers. We'll certainly talk about them, but maybe you want to go see them take on the Clippers again on Wednesday since they'll be home.
Hey, look, this team right now might be very, very frustrating. You never know what you're going to get game to game. But one thing I do know about Philly fans, if there is an opportunity to boost someone that they feel has done them wrong, they will take that opportunity, and you've got a hell of a one coming up here on Wednesday. If you want to get in on that action, Game Time is a place you want to go. Buying tickets to your favorite event shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is a fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll have. Game Time is the place for last-minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. And the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It's the fastest-growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. With Game Time, you get images of your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. And you can buy tickets in a matter of seconds. Two taps, and you're set. With tickets sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PHLY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PHLY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
On Sunday, not only did Philadelphia get the win, right, in L.A., they played well, but we were in a great atmosphere for our pregame. We watched the game there, and we had a postgame. It was a great spot in Marlton, New Jersey. And one of the things that we made sure that we let everybody know, our pregame show was presented by our good friends from Coors Light. And we saw a lot of people there in the restaurant making sure that they had their Coors Light with them. We had a few on the table, that Rocky Mountain Blue, because of the cold bottle being already. And you know that's how you want it when you drink your Coors Light. From day-to-day annoyances to the big stuff, like not going to the playoffs. That's probably like for those other teams, Detroit, Washington, San Antonio, Charlotte, et cetera. Not Philadelphia. They're still in the mix. Even though they may not be in the top six, they're still in the mix. It's easy to get worked up, but there's a better way. Even after losing a game like tonight, a chiller way. Turn your team's loss into a parking lot dance party. Too cold for a swim in Lake Michigan? I'm sure it is. Play a game on the beach and light a bonfire instead. And that's choosing chill. And when you choose chill, reach for Coors Light. When the mountain turned blue, it's as cold as the Rockies. Coors Light is cold lager and cold filtered and cold packaged for a smoother finish. Again, Derek took down one yesterday at the event. Our buddy Vince Pellegrini from PHLY also took one down, and many others in the restaurant, in the sports bar area, did the very same while watching their basketball team win on the floor in Los Angeles. So if you want to be like them, when you choose to rise above it all, choose chill. Choose Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/PHLYBasketball. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. All right, welcome back. Let's get to some of these super chats that we have here available to us. Bree, let's just start with the very first one. And let's go with Davon, aka Schoolboy Beats, longtime contributor to the PHLY Sixers show. Look, buddy, off a lot for contested Toby Twos tonight.
I mean, look, there's a lot of negative passers on this team, and Tobias is certainly one of them. He gets tunnel vision. If it's not a pass directly in front of him, he's probably going to look for his own shot. And he can be useful in transition. Like, I feel like most of when I say something positive about Tobias, it's him pushing the ball in transition or him filling a lane in transition when it confines to a half court. That's when things get dicey. He will definitely miss open shooters on a wing. Definitely.
Here's the problem with that, Davon, Derek, as we talk about that. When you look at Tobias Harris and the moves that he makes, as you just laid it out, we've been talking about this for a while. We know the types of moves that he's going to make. When he does these, in this particular game, he's going against Domantas Sabonis. He's going against Harrison Barnes. And for those two in particular, two older veteran players. Sabonis not as old as Harrison Barnes, but again, not as fast, not as fleet of foot. But they're all three of them are around the same speed. So when you are kind of predictable with what you do, they can anticipate that and get to the spot and meet you at that spot and not allow you to have that advantage. So with that, oftentimes, while there does seem to be a pass there, he's going to take that shot because he has it in his mind that, hey, these guys are not Keegan Murray, De'Aaron Fox, or any of these other Chris Duarte faster defenders there. While he may have the height, the speed to beat them to the spot, that's the problem. So he's going to think he should. And look, he should think that, especially coming off the performance that he had on Sunday afternoon. But that being said, those guys met him to his spots and made it difficult, contested those shots. Keegan Murray, again, a much younger player and much faster player to beat them. And also with some length there to also contest that shot. Not great there for Tobias Harris. So I think that was part of the problem. So yeah, he feels that way. And then it's just too late. You look the guy off and now he's covered because the defense recovers and gets back to that player to not allow them to be open still for that extra pass that you're going to make for them to get that look. So you're absolutely right. That's what he does from time to time. And then if he does pass it, it's because he makes the right pass or he has to pick up his dribble because, again, his pathway to the basket was probably cut off and he has to pick up his dribble and it's no longer a good look for him. All right, yeah. Let's get to the next one here. Davon also says Ricky could be the third off the dribble guy, but I love Ricky. We love Rick. He doesn't really turn the ball over.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that, but I do want to see him on the floor a little more. We keep saying this, and every time he's out there, he had that one stretch of about three games when he did get some clock, and it wasn't good. Since then, when he has gotten some reserve minutes. First half minutes he did get tonight, just they were whatever. He lost the man. It wasn't really his man in the corner. Hit an open three. It wasn't really his man. He was helping out because the other guys got caught up and he had to rotate to the open man and he couldn't get back to the other for that three-point make. That wasn't really his fault. But when he came in again, activity, they did try to make a push there at the end or with DJ Wilson on the floor. We'll talk about him a little bit. But Ricky is the third off the dribble guy. I think that should be more further down the line because you're looking at Maxey, Oubre, Harris, right? As your off the dribble guys, Buddy Hield should be an off the dribble guy as well to a certain extent. Ricky, not so much in my opinion.
I mean, look, you're never going to get a coach in the middle of a playoff run who's going to entrust a two-way rookie with what does he have? Maybe 400 minutes of experience down the stretch and in a playoff series. I understand that we all like young players and I understand that quite frankly, he's playing pretty well, but Nick Nurse is just not going to trust that decision-making at this stage of his career. It's just, we can rant and rave all we want. We can talk about as many shows and I understand it. You want guys that have been there before. The playoffs by definition are a completely different thing. It's practically a different sport. When you have a chance to really game plan against, you want people who have been there before or at least who have experience. They have a chance to react to changes and adversity in a predictable way. I would love to say Ricky should be playing. And there's a part of me that wouldn't like wouldn't mind seeing him just because it would be a hell of a lot more entertaining and might even give you a better chance of winning right now. But I understand any trepidation to do so. And quite frankly, like, Ricky pulled up from 30 feet the other day. That was great to see. I want to see that kind of confidence for his future. I want to see that kind of shot making for his future. I'm not sure that's necessarily helping him right now in his quest for playing time, because again, Nick Nurse wants people who he at least can trust to some degree. It's just, it's too much. I understand coaches not wanting to do this at this stage of Ricky's career.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, and he knocked down another three tonight. He took three, so that's good to see. But as far as people in front of him, by the way, I didn't even mention Campaign and Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry can't get to the basket like he used to. But as far as the dribble drive, put the ball on the floor, those are the guys in front of him. And our buddy Phil was making fun of me saying, did Devon just say Harris? Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're supposed to put Tobias Harris in front of Ricky Council when we're talking about putting the ball on the floor. Harris needs to be better? Absolutely. But Ricky's not quite there yet. I mean, Derek, we're still waiting on him to get that contract, man. He still hasn't gotten that converted to a standard NBA contract. But the guy,
and again, if you're gonna tell me like play him over KJ Martin, sure, get behind that. But being like you're one of your top three dribble drive creators, that's just too much to ask from Nick.
Yeah, not yet. Do we have any more super chats? Did we miss any, or is that it? Oh, one more: death taxes and Tobias being blocked at the rim. That did happen tonight. He was blocked at the rim. Yeah, and I don't know what happened. He might say he lost the ball on that lob. He might. He should have caught it and finished it. You know what it made me think of? It made me think of Game 6 against Boston when it wasn't a lob, but it was a kick ahead over the top of the defense. It was a defender down there, as we know, and James Harden found him in the first quarter, and that really started the spiral the other way where he missed that one, and it was like, oh, the crowd was on him, and he just had no confidence at all from that one. So that's where we are with the dribble drive people. A lot of this stuff is going to change, of course, when Joel Embiid does get back on the floor, man. And we all know this. This is what we continue to talk about. This is what we keep bringing up, that things will change when he gets back on the floor. 10 games left on the season, folks. 10 games left on the season. And it's not easy, man. It's not easy. But that being said,
the Bulls, I think, lost today as well.
They did.
Again, you really only have to win maybe two or three more to make sure that you don't fall to ninth. It does hurt that the Pacers beat the Clippers. So that was a chance. I think the Pacers were a half game up on the Sixers for sixth spot. So now they are a game and a half up. That would be a monumental task to try to catch them, considering how tough the next couple of games are for the Sixers and the fact that you're doing that without Joel Embiid. I think you can pretty much kiss the sixth seed goodbye. So you're really just fighting with Miami to figure out who's going to have home court on that first 7-8 play-in matchup. And again, that first game is going to be incredibly important because the winner of that game captures the 7th seed and plays the Bucks in the first round, whereas the loser of that then plays the winner of the 9-10 for that final playoff spot. And even if you then win that game, you would play Boston in the first round. So you do want, like, home court, capturing that 7th best record in the East and home court for that play-in would be important. But most important is not falling to 9th, and it looks like you should avoid that, and Chicago losing again tonight helps there.
Miami beat Cleveland tonight. So they're half a game up on the Sixers as a result of their victory over Cleveland. And just quickly looking at their schedule briefly here, the Sixers and the Heat do play on March 4th. That is back here in Philadelphia, March 4th. So that's going to be,
I believe that would be one. April 4th.
I'm sorry, April 4th. You're absolutely right. It's 1:23 in the morning. Yeah. That's my mistake. But they do have Golden State, who has not been playing well, but it is at home. They have Portland, and you expect them to be Portland, should be Portland, at Washington, home from New York, then Philadelphia. Again, sorry, that's in Miami. So New York and Philadelphia in Miami on the 2nd and the 4th, at Houston, Indiana, and Atlanta. Then they close out at home against Dallas and two, hosting the Raptors to wrap up the regular season. So their schedule is not all that bad, Miami. So the Sixers, it looks like, man, that, yeah, they're probably going to be fighting with the Miami Heat for that 7-8 and you just hold off the Chicago Bulls, to your point. So that's where things are. Well, we got to thank a lot of people. Oh, Marty Bones. I forgot about Marty Bones. We're dropping some bones on us. Look at it, $34.99. Well, yeah, I don't know what the currency exchange there is, but nevertheless, we thank you, Marty Bones. Appreciate y'all. This team is a tough one to follow, let alone podcast and write about on a regular basis. Derek wrote a great piece for the Diehard. So if you're not signed up for the Diehards, go out there and do so. Great piece about Maxey and what his shooting looks like right now when we talk about the driving, the mid-range, and being a three-level scorer hitting his outside shots. But now mid-range game that he has here and how lethal that is and opens up so much for himself and others. So if you're a Diehard, go check that out. If you're not a Diehard, go sign up to get those types of articles and opportunity to hang out with us at events and some gear.
Do we have any events coming up here, Devon?
We do have some events coming up here. Friday, we're back on the road, man. Deke's Barbecue. It's a good place too. It's some good food. It is good.
I mean, Deke's, it better be. With a name like Deke's Barbecue, like that better be some good food.
It's some really good
food. I have not been there, but I will be excited to check that out.
Yeah, so we'll do our show from there. Post game. Do we have post game? Yeah, I think. I don't know about pregame, but we definitely have post game there. So we'll watch the game there. We'll have post game there. Derek, Kyle will be back. So we'll have Kyle back in the house. So I'll be there. Brianna will be there. And we hope to see you there. Stop through at Deke's Barbecue on Friday as we do the show from there. And then on Sunday, we have a watch party. It's our first watch party. But we get to watch more people with how we watch the game.
So again, a watch party for you guys, there's no in-person event. It's just there's going to be a stream of Devon and Kyle and myself watching the game. And we might have some snarky comments. We might make some jokes. Who knows? Really, most games, I just sit there and take notes and rewind and take more notes and rewind and rewatch a play because I can't see anything the first time. So it's probably going to be really boring from my end, but Kyle's a little animated. Devon can be a little animated. We'll see how it goes. We've never done one of these, but it's a terrible sales pitch. But I'm just setting some expectations here. But we will be doing that while the game is going on, so go check that out. It'll be on our YouTube. Hit the bell icon, and you can get notifications when we go live.
Bing.
So that way you will know when we need to do that. It'll be, like I said, it's the first time we've done these. The Phillies have done one. The Flyers have done one. We haven't done one yet. So we will see how it goes.
And they play the Raptors. I mean, for goodness sake, they just lost, 12 in a row, I think it is. I was watching the game. They played Brooklyn tonight. So naturally watching that game. And they lost to the Brooklyn Nets. So I think that's now 12 in a row, 11 in a row for the Toronto Raptors that they have lost. So come on, guys.
Yeah.
Should beat that basketball team. Should give us something to talk about in a positive way as we watch the game. We got a lot of people to thank, though. Who are we starting off
with?
We
do, and that's going back to Marty's super chat here. Like, he appreciates us because of a tough game. Well, gosh darn it, this was an even tougher game for you. Like, at least we get paid to watch this and talk about it. For you guys to sit in there and watch that whole game and come on this stream and hear us talk about it, appreciate you very much. Appreciate Marty specifically. That's a name that I recognize for going back many, many years, but appreciate each and every one of you in there as well. We do
especially
have
at 1:30 in the morning.
It's freaking wild after a game like that. Like, you guys are the best, and there's a decent amount in here. I cannot believe it, but we all do really appreciate it. Super chats, we got Davon, Marty, and Jay of the Jungle. A lot of longtime regular members in there. Everyone else, we got Play by Play with JJ, Alex S, AA Ron, Remo K, Liam Stevens, Big British Lad. I wonder if we got like more British people on this one because it's early over there. Maybe they're part of their morning tomb. I don't know. Phil W, Lawrence, Coach Lowell Ricketts, Winona, Luke P.
Oh, we got everybody in here.
The 2 minute warning, AC Fella, always fighting a good fight. X-Man, Joe Sox, Kane. I think that's all that I have written down, at least. Scrolling up to see if I missed anyone, but that certainly covers a good chunk of you that were active in the chat. Again, appreciate each and every one of you. It's so much easier.
Yes.
This was just because, like, back in the day, we didn't always do, at least I didn't always do a live show. If I was just sitting here talking to Devon for an hour straight after a shitty ass performance like that, that would have gotten dark real quickly. You guys definitely do give us energy. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, 5:30 wake up for Big British Lad. 5:30 a.m. right now.
They're only 4 hours ahead now. I was still thinking it was 5 hours.
Yeah.
We sprung forward.
Yeah. Well, listen, everybody, we thank you. We can't thank you enough for hanging out with us on a late night like this. And we really, really appreciate it. And I hope you all understand and know that. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Al. JJ, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow, 2:30 for our normal non-game day show, 2:30. Derek and I will be together. Brianna will be there as well. So we hope to see you. Everybody have a great rest of your night. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Well, later today at 2:30. Right here on the PHLY Sixes podcast.
You guys are the best. Appreciate you.
Y'all silly like the mayor.